Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. All right, we lost Kurt. He's probably hanging out in the garden. We'll get Kurt back from Garden Watch here soon, ladies and gentlemen. A quick brief of what we talked about last hour. We talked about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and the contrast. You got a pro-life Donald Trump, pro-death Hillary Clinton. On free trade, or trade, if you will, you got Donald wants a trade surplus and fair trade. Hillary wants a trade deficit and free trade. You've also got the mainstream press's treatment of Hillary and the Donald. Very negative to Donald, very positive on Hillary. I mean, Clinton's tech agenda is like a Silicon Valley wish list, the mainstream press gloats. Crooked Hillary is going to lose, said Donald. We're going to win. Make America great again. Crooked Hillary is going to lose. We're going to win. Make America great again. Pretty good. Three slogans Donald has sent me just recently. We talked about a dad who placed an ad for a wife for his 48-year-old son. Dad's 78, son's 48. They placed a $900 ad, and they got 12 women responding saying, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Dad placed the ad,
The dad placed the ad. Did I say the son did? Yeah.
Well, you said they placed the ad.
Well, they did, because the son agreed to let the dad go forward, so they placed the ad.
Oh, okay. I thought the son said he kind of didn't know anything about it until he actually, in one of the articles I was reading, he said...
By the way, I told everybody you were in the garden, Kirk, because I tried to go to you, and you were like, MIA.
Oh, well, I wasn't actually in the garden, but I was checking the state of the moisture on the grounds. And I got here at about probably 10 seconds after you needed me.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, it was, it was nice. A little overcast, a little, kind of cooler morning,
Not
and I
like
decided to turn on two of the, well, I'm just saying, it's a little bit shady is what I should say, this morning. And got a little bit of a, a couple of different areas I decided to turn the water on for. And, anyway. But in this article on this, I know it's always a different, better time to work on whenever I do things. But the article I read said where the son, the 48-year-old son, he said, unfortunately, this well-intentioned but totally weird ad isn't actually making his dating life any easier. Then they quote him. He says, I was seeing a new girl in Salt Lake. When she found out about the ad, she canceled and wants nothing to do with me, he said. I guess they placed the ad.
So you lose one woman, you gain 12 potentials,
Okay. Okay. Anyway, but I at least
if he was out in the garden, though, when all them women were calling, I don't think he'd get the calls, man.
Well, that's what voicemail's for. But I guess apparently it said on this New York Daily News piece that he basically went to his dad's for Father's Day. And everything was normal, he says. My dad didn't say a word. That kind of leads me to believe he didn't know about it. And then the article says he only found out when he turned his phone on Monday morning. He said, I thought it was broken because it wouldn't shut up. He found thousands of emails and a deluge of Facebook requests. The first one he clicked on was a reporter who wanted to know if he was the same Baron, I guess that's the last name, looking for a wife in Idaho. Baron is the first name.
I think
okay.
so.
Anyway.
At first I thought it was Baron, and I thought they had a typo in him, but I looked it up. It's Baron.
Okay. Anyway, so this reporter wanted to know if he was the same Baron looking for a wife in Idaho. He said, I think you've got the wrong Baron. Then she sent him the ad. He said, oh, I knew right away who the culprit was. So that's what leads me to believe that he didn't really know.
But he's ready to go forward, Kurt.
He said, it was my crazy crackpot, neurotic father. I can't explain it. He's nuts. Even though a dear
old dad, you can go forward. Please interview the women for me.
Yeah, anyway, I guess he intends to let him go through with his plans to interview the potential wifey candidates. Now, the only thing is they were going to interview him for this, I guess, coming weekend or the past weekend.
Yeah.
But the women have asked to have the date moved back in light of the ongoing media frenzy. I guess they would probably cover that as much as they do.
Yeah, they're like a little less reality TV show and a little more genuine.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that. Although, you know, that's what the newlywed game and the dating games were about, Kurt, back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, in the 70s, didn't they have those, you know, The Bachelor and all this stuff?
That's right.
You know, and so I don't know how that relates. And I'm not so sure that interviewing these women are really going to, you know, get much done. Although I guess you could screen out a lot of the problems.
But now, I would give him some counsel. You know, I remember you gave him
right, before the counsel, really quick. Last hour, at the end of the hour, I gave counsel about where to look for women. You don't look in bars. Mm. You know, you don't look at, you know, negative places like that, clubs. You do look at church and volunteer places and, you know, mutual opportunities at work. For example, if there's a work party, you might meet, you know, one of your colleagues, friends or something like that. There's places and ways, but, you know, when you look at church or somebody volunteering or at a party, you find similar economic status, you find similar expectations of family and normalcy, and, you know, you at least get the pool of people that are willing to work as opposed to someone that's not willing to work. And you want to look for a lot of those core things to be similar of what your expectations would be and such. Anyway, I kind of went into that, Kurt.
Yeah, it made me think of a talk that I heard from a man named Henry B. Eyring, or President Eyring.
So is this your counsel or Henry's counsel, Kurt?
Well, I agree with this.
Okay.
And he said, in considering marriage, he recommends to the young men, he's talking to him in this case, he said he will see that he is choosing the parents of his children and the heritage they will have. He will make the choice with earnest searching and prayerful consideration. He will ensure that the person he marries shares his ideals for family and his convictions of the Lord's purpose for marriage, and that she is a person to whom he would be willing to trust his children's happiness. Then he quotes somebody he values, their counsel. He says, President N. Eldon Tanner gave wise counsel. The parents that you should honor more than any others are the parents of your children to be. Those children are entitled to the best parents that it is possible for you to give them, clean parents. Purity will be your protection, and the protection of your children, you owe them that blessing. Anyway, I thought that was some pretty good counsel, too.
Yeah, great counsel. Looking for somebody that's interested in family. So it's not only where you look for a spouse, Kurt, but it's the attributes that you desire in a spouse. And I kind of mentioned last hour, you're not looking for some, you know, sexy whatever. You're looking for someone who will, as he says, will take care of your children, somebody you can trust your children with. But when you look at that, somebody that will take care of you when you're old, but you got to be willing to, you know, do the same. Somebody who you generally have a spark with is good. And a lot of times people have a spark, not just necessarily on looks, but people feel comfortable in each other's presence. People, you know, and there's a lot of factors that you can put together. And does it mean you're going to pick the perfect spouse? No, it doesn't. There still can be troubles. But your likelihood increases substantially when you pay attention to some of these things we're talking about. Anyway, I pray for the dad that he gets his wish of a grandchild. And I pray for the son that he gets his wish of a wife. And I hope it all works out well. But I know this, at least they're pursuing marriage, children, spouses, family. When all that stuff's good in my mind, Kurt.
Yes, I agree.
You know, now it's
now, Sam. I know that you know, everybody's heard all about this, and you know, I hate to do a segue here to this, but the you know, this whole terrorist attack in Istanbul, you know, kind of is what typically gets covered. But I, you know, I want to mention that, you know, ask you a few questions
about Istanbul.
That, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. Quick pause. Right. Seconds. We'll be talking about Istanbul. We go from, like, you know, how to pick a perfect wife to murders in Istanbul on your radio.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, isn't it Istanbul, Turkey, Kurt? Is that where it's at?
Yeah. And we're not talking about Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. This is a pretty scary story, but it's, yeah. You know, I mean, it's something that you've probably heard lots about by now. And, you know, a lot of people have responded about it. You know, apparently, according to the Sky News boys, you know, at least 36 were killed. I guess the latest thing is 41 were killed in these terrorist bombings. I guess they had three of the bad guys, and you know, they basically went in and started shooting, and then after they got took a little you know, shooting back, then they'd blow themselves up, you know. So shooting and bombing, and that's the story there in the Istanbul airport, as far as I understand. So Trump and Clinton responded, and I kind of want to let you know what they said, and then I just thought it'd be interesting to hear your response, Sam. So in the what do they call it? Jerusalem Post, looks like here. That's where I'm reading from. The Republican presidential hopeful, we're talking about Trump, he said, folks, there's something going on that's really, really bad. It's bad. And I guess he was talking when he was in Ohio. They said he offered his thoughts. Trump, speaking in the battleground state of Ohio, said, I wanted to talk to you about a few things. And then, as you know, we had another suicide bombing in Istanbul, Turkey. Many, many people killed, many, many people injured. Folks, there's something going on that's really, really bad. It's bad, and we had better get smart, we better get tough, or we're not going to have much of a country left. It's bad. Now, they go to Clinton, U.S. Democratic presidential candidate. Remember, this is in the Jerusalem Post. It's just interesting to see how they label it a little different than the, what was it, USA Today or whatever, the way they promoted Hillary. Here's what they say. She said the attack was a reminder that the United States cannot retreat. Those are her words, I guess.
Okay, today's but attack. I want to stop you there for a minute, Kurt. Yeah, and I don't mean to derail the discussion, but what do you mean by retreat?
Well, that's
okay, and what do you mean by advance? And why are we over there in the first place? And I mean, I have a bunch of questions relating to this.
I just figured I'd finish the little, there's only like three more lines. And there's not much here. But the thing I appreciate about the Jerusalem Post is they don't really, you know, go into
lie.
A bunch of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just kind of say, here's what they said. And then it's over. But anyway, so they say. Here's her statement that I guess it was a written statement. Today's attack in Istanbul only strengthens our resolve to defeat the forces of terrorism and radical jihadism around the world. Then she went on, part of the statement, we must deepen our cooperation with our allies and partners in the Middle East and Europe to take on this threat. The final little bit from the Jerusalem Today or Jerusalem Post, at least 36 people were killed and 150 more wounded. Broadcaster Haber Turk said this, and final little sentence, three suicide bombers opened fire before blowing themselves up in the main international airport in Istanbul on Tuesday, the provincial governor and eyewitnesses said. So there you go. Now, go ahead.
So my first question is, see, I reject the whole narrative of the discussion. We're caught in the Hegelian dialectic. It's like we either, one, take on terrorism head on in every land in the world as if we're the world's cops and that we got to just be everywhere and do everything, or we're capitulating and backing down and virtually aiding terrorism by our, you know, unwillingness to, quote, advance. And that's the way they want you to believe this is. And I disagree with the whole narrative. I mean, they kind of want you to believe, like, with government schools and education. And I don't mean to digress here, but I want to make this point. You know, either you have government schools and people are educated, or you don't and everybody's stupid. Okay, that's a lie. Same thing is true here. With, you know what, I don't need to go belligerent in every land against Al-Qaeda or some organization. What I need to do is stay out of foreign entanglements, like the Founding Fathers wisely warned. And then what I need to do is quit arming the enemy. Okay, we run around and arm everybody to the teeth, then we wonder why people are like shooting at each other. We train people for war, and then we wonder why there's not peace. We inject ourselves into the middle of every issue, and then we wonder why countries hate our guts, and there's blowback.
I guess the update is 41 dead, 239 injured. That's a pretty good batch.
But by who?
I agree.
Well, let's talk about this. That's another point that I'll make. By who?
You know, if you look at, remember the Ron Paul, Mayor Giuliani, you know, kind of exchange there in, what was that, 08 or maybe it was 12. But anyway, the last time that Ron Paul ran, when Giuliani really questioned him when he said, hey, we got to quit being the guys who pretty much caused this. Giuliani was so shocked, you know, like, I can't believe you would say we caused the, you know, 9/11 thing. And Ron Paul said, hey, here's a little reading material for you, including reading from what CIA reports, where they basically talked about a principle called blowback. Wherein when we go and bomb these people's countries and kill all these people, that they feel like they must respond in some fashion. And this is one of the ways they do it, right, Sam?
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't understand, though, who's doing what attacks where. Now, I know we would say, oh, well, but you know what? Is it the organization we built called ISIS, Kurt, and funded and trained and armed to the teeth? Is it some rebel group that stole weapons from our, quote, secure pipeline of weapons? What? Who's what where in this whole thing? I don't even know, Kurt. And I submit to you that we can't know.
It definitely gets difficult to figure it out, doesn't it?
Well, as long as we continue doing this stuff, I don't see how we can know.
Yeah.
Because we've set the stage to make it impossible to know on purpose to generate confusion.
It's like back in the days of Gunsmoke, if you were watching that in the old days, and you know, you'd see some weird show when Marshall Dillon started giving cash to the bad guys so that they could go out and buy more guns and create more havoc. I mean, you can't imagine a show like that, but that's pretty much the situation we find ourselves in, right?
Yeah. So anyway, just weird stuff.
Yep.
In my opinion, very weird stuff. And I don't mean to be negative. And I know somebody might come back to me and say, Sam, I can tell you exactly who, what with the weapons. And you just don't know what's going on over there. That's what they try to do to politicians when they want to attack them. Let's say Trump responds to this and he doesn't respond to the, quote, accepted narrative. Then they're like, oh, man, Trump's ignorant of foreign affairs. Okay, this is bogus. I'm telling you that when you have governments arming nations to the teeth, funding both sides of wars, and then you have, you know, weapons stolen and money and weapons and drugs and, you know, all manipulated in this big old mix. You don't know what's going on. You can't. What we do know is this. The answers are constitutional and clear. That is to avoid foreign entanglements. No, not be isolationists. I know they'd lie there too. But to avoid foreign entanglements and say, look, we'll use diplomatic relations. Will you trade tariffs at our borders and trade? In other words, the best economy in the world and access thereto is one of our keys. And we will simply avoid these foreign entanglements and we'll never arm other nations. Now you would say, Sam, what about the people that need our help, by golly? They'll get just run over by thugs. They might not. How do you know? It seems to me that God says if we turn to him and keep his commandments, he'll heal our land and protect us. Do you have any belief in that? And if you don't, you think you can be safe trusting in your own arm of flesh? Or flesh, I'm sorry, good luck with that plan. That's all I'm saying. There are ways to go about this, folks. The greatest general in the world, George Washington, had a humble foreign policy. You think he was educated? You think there was a reason? Just asking. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The Brexit vote and the elitist backlash following the referendum laid bare not only a sharp political divide, but a very deep cultural schism in British society, insists left-leaning commentator Stephen Bush of the New Statesman magazine. The new culture war is about class and income and education, but also about culture, race, nationalism, and optimism about the future or lack of it. This divide explains why the UK Independence Party's message has been seductive to former Labour voters and to Tories, and why Boris Johnson, an old Etonian, led a campaign that purported to despise elites and experts and spoke of wanting our country back. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, the Michigan Supreme Court has ruled that police officers have a legally protected right to lie about misconduct. The case arose from a November 2009 incident in which three Detroit officers surrounded a car at a gas station, dragged out the driver, DeJuan Hodges Lamar, and assaulted him, and then issued him a citation for failing to provide proof of insurance. They were investigated and charged with obstruction and assault after their official reports were contradicted by video evidence. Michigan state law includes the Disclosure by Law Enforcement Officers Act, which specifies that involuntary statements made by police cannot be used in a criminal proceeding. The state Supreme Court held that the immunity provided by that act covers false statements made by officers in official reports and statements made during administrative investigations. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The racists are at it again, Kurt.
How's that?
Well, the headline says minority babies are now the majority in America. Yeah, Deseret News, point. Associated Press, brings us this. They say the number of babies born to minority parents has reached an all-time high. Making them the majority, Kurt. But not by much. That's according to a Pew Research Center study. The youngest Americans, Kurt, they say, have no racial or ethnic group majority. Something expected to be true for the general population in a few decades. So do you understand what they're saying here, first of all?
Well, they're saying that the minorities are going to be the majority.
No, the majority babies are already the majority.
The minority babies are already the majority.
So how are they minority babies, Kurt?
Good point.
I'm kind of stupid, you know? Kind of can't figure it out. But if the minority babies are the majority, then how are they minority babies?
I think they add them all together. You know, the ones that...
that's you're getting
basically
somewhere.
It's white, yes, versus anything
that's
else.
Right. And that's right. The whole point that I'm getting at. Yes, yeah. Kurt, you're directly nailing it. Right. Check this out. The youngest Americans have no racial or ethnic group majority. That's something expected to be true for the whole population in a couple of decades. That's based on Census Bureau population estimates. Now, you say, what does that even mean? And Kurt already nailed it. They say this. It hasn't been easy, Kurt, trying to figure out exactly when, quote, minority newborns started to outnumber, quote, non-Hispanic white babies. But what is known, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Bureau's estimates for July 1, 2015 showed the crossover. Said that just over half, 50.2% of U.S. babies younger than 1 year old were listen, racial or ethnic minorities. The new estimates indicate that this crossover occurred back in 2013, so they say the pattern is already long established. In other words, it's beyond debate. Okay? Now, Kurt made the wise point. And this point that Kurt made is articulated. What races are we talking about? It's every race against the white race, Kurt. Doesn't matter if you're Hispanic. Doesn't matter if you're black. Doesn't matter if you're... I don't know if there's a difference between Hispanic and Latino, but, you know, it includes everybody, Asians, yeah. Everybody, but the white. And here's the proof in the pudding. The line says this in the article. Births outnumber deaths for every racial and ethnic group except for non-Hispanic whites.
Births outnumber what?
Deaths. For every racial and or ethnic group.
All right.
Last year, except for.
White ones.
Non-Hispanic whites.
Yeah, in other words, yeah, white people. Okay.
Now, this whole article is as racist as it gets, and let me tell you why. The headline says, minority babies are now the majority. Well, I would first ask how they're minority babies then, if yeah. They're the majority. Second thing I would say is since this has gone on for like a year, because they discovered this back in 2015, Kurt, why are they still calling them minority babies?
Yep.
In fact, whites, non-Hispanic whites are minority babies in America, ladies and gentlemen. So then the next question becomes, they say this. A report earlier this year projected that by 2044, today's majority white population will become the minority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know why that is, don't you, Kurt?
Well, because there's, like you said, fewer births than deaths, right?
Yeah, it's not only do... all other races outpace the whites in terms of having babies. In other words, they're having more children.
Yeah.
Okay, whites believe abortion is the answer and no marriage. And they believe in all the things against God, family, and country. And therefore, they're being punished big time for it by their own actions. It's like self-abuse, if you will, to their families, to their history, to their culture, to their future. Mm-hmm. But in addition to all that, they say this. Births outnumber deaths for all racial and ethnic groups last year, except for non-Hispanic whites. So not only are we having less children, Kurt, but more of our people are dying than birthing. Is that the word I should use for that?
Being born. Yeah.
Being born, sure. I can do that, you know.
You being born, now, buddy.
Why are we having more deaths than births for whites? And I'll tell you the answer is because we've somehow in the education system accepted the lie that if you're going to have a quality of life, it starts with every kind of sex except for God-approved sex, Kurt.
Yeah.
And then no matter what, you deny the fruits of that relationship because your life will be much better if you do. Somehow you'll be safer, smarter, faster, happier, prettier, sexier, whatever lie they want to sell. Mm-hmm. And Americans have bought into that wholesale, Kurt.
Yep.
Well, when I say Americans, non-Hispanic white Americans.
Yeah.
Now, the other Americans, Kurt.
Non-Hispanic white. So are there non-Asian white Americans?
Non-Asian
white. Are there non-Indian white Americans? Okay.
But they're part of the non-Hispanic white.
It's kind of confusing to me.
Because they're non-Hispanic. If you're totally Asian, you're non-Hispanic and you're non-white, Kurt. So you just you go into the big category of everybody against the white people.
Mm-hmm.
See, and then if I bring this up, they say, see, Sam, you're an absolute racist.
Yep.
And I'm going, what are you guys talking about? You're the one calling minority babies, even though you know they have a majority. You're the one running around pitting every race against the, quote, non-Hispanic white. You're the one running around telling me everybody's willing to have babies but non-Hispanic white people. Everybody else is prospering and growing and having a future for their families except for the white person. And then I bring it all up and go, you guys are racist. And they're going, oh, man, you're probably the leader of the KKK. I'm going, what are you guys talking about? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, I would encourage the Hispanics to marry, to have solid marital relationships between one man and one woman, and to welcome children to that union.
Wow. See?
And I would encourage their families to grow, and I'd encourage them to care about their heritage and their history and their future. Build traditions of stability and success. And by the way, not only would I tell the Hispanics to do that, I'd tell the Asians to do that too, Kurt.
You'd tell anyone breathing to do that?
Yeah.
Wow, Sam. How could you be a racist?
I'm like no respecter of persons.
Yeah, but I got to remember, you are a racist because you're white. That's right.
I know.
You're a man.
I'm non-Hispanic white, just so you know.
That's right.
Now, what would I need to do to be a Hispanic white, Kurt? Because are there those kind of people? The Hispanic whites?
Say buenos dias.
Wait a minute. I eat more Mexican food than half the white people. Does that count? Now, you would say, Sam, you're a racist for even stating that. No, I'm trying to make a point to demonstrate the absurdity of this. What is a
I'll tell you when
Hispanic white? Are they different than black whites?
When some people think I'm a racist is when I'm wearing my sombrero, Sam, and I tell them that that's Mexican sunblock. And, you know, they're like,
whoa,
what?
Kurt, you can't be saying that kind of stuff.
And I'm telling him that, hey, that's the smartest way to do sunblock. You know, I mean, I'm basically, hats off.
Hey, Kurt.
I use that phrase on purpose.
People hats that are outdoors and get a lot of sun from every community have understood that for generations.
Yeah, but, you know,
that's
somehow
we're
so stupid as Americans that the white Americans, we just put blobs of stuff all over us and figure we would wear a sombrero. I mean, you know, that's kind of beneath us. And I always also call my sombrero that I wear when I'm selling honey, I call it a Mexican helmet. Now, the reason I call it that is because it gives me a little notice when I'm getting close to something so I don't bump my head. You know, I mean, I enjoy it, you know, so anyway.
See, Kurt's not one of those non-Hispanic whites. He's one of those Hispanic whites wearing them sombreros and such. No, but it's fascinating how they do this. And then I bring all this up and we talk about it and we say we want everybody to advocate for their family and we want just strong families and we want American people that are legally here doing a great job and we don't care about the pigmentation of your skin. And they're just like, man, you're a racist. You're just like a terrorist. They're crazy.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to givemelibertyfund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Never mind that minority babies are the majority. They're still calling them minority babies, ladies and gentlemen. Then I bring this up and they call me a racist. But nevertheless, every ethnic group is doing great. Births outnumber deaths for every ethnic and or racial group last year, except for the non-Hispanic white people. Anyway, there you have it. Now, I wonder how they're going to start referring to this now that they're the majority. And us white people are the minority. I wonder how that's all going to go down. And I wonder if they're going to advocate for our rights as much as they advocate. I'm just wondering. Right now, this next story we got to get to before the end of the hour. The headline says this. He set out to raise $250 to help this hungry teen. What happened next has inspired thousands, they say. Little did one man know that a chance encounter with a teenager at a local grocery store would end up leading to one of the most cherished experiences of his life. One that has left him and thousands of others profoundly inspired. Guy's name is Matt White. He's 30 years old. Now, Matt White's white, okay? Just saying. Now, 16-year-old Chauncey Jones Black is black. So, got it. White's white, black's black, okay? Just want you to know that.
It's a little straighter.
Now, What happened is this black teenager named Chauncey Jones Black saw white in the grocery store and said, "Hey, man, can I carry your groceries to your car? And I just hope you'd buy me some donuts because I'm hungry."
Yeah.
And they forged a relationship in the parking lot, and it's been this star-studded story ever since. And Matt and Chauncey are now good friends, and Matt helped Chauncey and his grandmother. And, well, they were just going to raise money to help a little bit. But before you know it, they got on a GoFundMe page, and they raised $300,000. And they say it's changing lives, it's inspiring, it's incredible. But I'm not so sure the story's all true, Kurt. I'm not comfortable with it. Everybody and their dog is reporting it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are positive aspects of this story. The idea that people can help one another, whether they're different races, is great. The strange thing, you know, I always bring up these strange names. Like, for example, let's say that a girl gets caught for prostitution and her last name is Hooker or something. It's like, what? Are you serious? Okay. Or in this case, you know, hey, Matt White, who happens to be white, helps out Mr. Black, who happens to be black. Okay, really? I'm just surprised that the black guy's not named White and the white guy's not named Black, but, you know. Now, I commend the teen for being hungry and going to the store and offering to do some work for what he got.
Yeah,
and I think that's a wonderful story. I don't care what color you are.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to work for what you get's a good thing. Now, Mr. Black said, "Something just told me to go to Kroger, so I did. God told me to go to Kroger."
Yeah, I guess in the story it said he wanted to go to the rich guy's Kroger. Rich people's Kroger. I guess that means, you know, where he figures, hey, if people have money, they're the ones you kind of want to work for, right?
That makes sense to me, sure. Anyway, yeah. So Matt basically says he asked for donuts, but I actually became friends with him, bought him a whole cart of groceries, helped him get it all home.
Yeah.
The two got to know one another in the process.
In his Facebook story, he said he had, he and I went on a shopping spree. We had so much fun. We got cereal and chips and frozen veggies, pizzas, Cheetos, melons and pasta, peanut butter, milk, soap, toothbrushes, just a little bit of everything. You know, anyway, go ahead.
Now it goes on and it talks about his grandmother's disabled and Chauncey lives with his grandmother. And I assume that's why it's Jones Black is his name. I assume his real name is Chauncey Jones, but he goes by Black to honor his grandmother. I don't know that. I'm just saying there's something there. But then Matt, this white guy who happens to have a last name of White.
That's right.
All that Black wants, by the way, that guy's last name is Black and he is Black. He wants food. He wants a bed. He wants to work and he wants a chance. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's what most Americans want. I don't care what race you are.
And by the way, that's one of the reasons, that, in my opinion, that Donald Trump's got the support he's got.
Yeah, no question.
That's basically what people want. You know?
Yeah. So all I can tell you is it's an interesting story. I'm just questioning its truthfulness because right now when there's so many race divisions.
Yeah.
When there's so many dispersions and manipulations about white people are all racist, is it really true that a black dude named Black walked into the store, wanted to work, good dude, Christian guy, felt like God sent him there, lives with his disabled grandma, you know, what a perfect story, right? But he told the white guy named White, and who happens to be white, hey, man, I'd like to work for you and make some money. And the white guy's like, you know what? And they become friends, and they go home, and they all of a sudden raise $300,000. And the story hits the wires, hits everywhere, and the black dude named Black and the white dude named White are just best of buddies now. Now, I'm not saying that it can't be true. I am saying it seems very strange to me, given the current landscape. Now, they said they're going to buy them a home. They're going to basically put the money in a trust so it's all safe. I hope this goes down the way it's supposed to. And I hope that this story's true.
Yeah.
And if the black guy wasn't named Black and the white guy wasn't named White and the black guy didn't come in asking for work and, you know, all that, I might believe. I'm just saying the story's almost too picture perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say we might be in a situation where Black will have his future educational expenses paid for. They're going to purchase a home for the grandmother and the small family. Could you imagine, White wrote, they could go from not being able to pay rent to homeowners all because of the love of strangers. The GoFundMe page also asked people to give clothing to Black and his grandmother. They also need music players, Kurt, and furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And they have very few possessions. People are responding to that as well. Black already got an air conditioning unit, dude. He's chilling in the AC now. Got a lawnmower. Got a job offer. I hope it's what we hear, Kurt. I really do. But I'm telling you, I have my doubts. Only because it's just too strange of coincidence detail-wise. And it just seems too picture-perfect of a story.
Yep. Yeah, I guess the GoFundMe account shows that they've almost brought in $325,000 of 13,283 different donations. Thing I like about these kind of things is you can see how, at least in my opinion, a forced charity doesn't have to happen. You know, we get told by the government that people won't help people, you know, when they need help. And that's why we have to have the government, you know, participating in these forced acts of charity. But, you know, at least in my opinion, this is another reason or way you can see that that's not the truth. You know. It's just,
you know, do you really think the guy, though, is going to work for glazed donuts if they're really hungry? I'm going to spend my money on glazed donuts?
Well, I mean, He's a 16-year-old kid, Sam. Yeah, I mean, he's not possible. Really going to be asking for, like, probably...
I'm just saying, you would think if it's really that to that level that the boy who wanted to work would want to take home some food to his grandma, too.
Well, I bet he's figuring that if he could get some donuts, he'd have energy to do some other stuff. And apparently he was trying to hurry so he could, because he did have a bus pass, so that he could, at least according to the story, that he could get back on the bus and be able to get home, you know, the last bus ride home that night.
Well, and that's great, and I hope the story's true, Kurt. I don't mean to just cast dispersions on it, but what I'm telling you is too many times we find out this stuff is a scam.
Yeah.
And I hope this is genuine, but I would say this, instead of just getting him a house in the hood, I think that if we're going to do anything for this kid, let's try to move him to a place where he has a better chance.
Yeah, good point. Now, they do call it Chauncey's Chance, so, you know.
Yeah. And I will say this, the fact that the black gentleman wants to work. In fact, the white guy's willing to help is a great story. I think that the race is irrelevant, though.
You think?
Yeah. I just think good people should help good people wherever they are.
Good point.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I don't want this to be manipulated into a racial story, which they've already done, which is, man, the white, benevolent, rich guy is going to use his privilege to help a poor, struggling black guy. You know. Okay, I agree that, you know what? It's good that we have riches that God gave us to help those around us. It is good that we bear one another's burdens. I agree. But we need to make sure it doesn't have this racial twist to it. We need to make sure that it's genuine help, that it really, you know, the help goes where it needs to go. In other words, do we want to just make sure Chauncey has a blessed life, a silver spoon life now because he got lucky? Or do we want to look at it differently and say maybe this $325,000 could be, you know what, $10,000 to... what, 30 families? $5,000 to 60 families may do a whole lot more good. All I'm telling you is you got to start to ask questions about, and that's why I basically just give my money and my sources and my resources to my church, because I can deal with it on a local level and make sure that the money really is used for what it's intended for and that it really has fidelity to that sacred cause that it's donated for. That's just me. And I hope it's true, but I just find it so strange that this black dude's name is black and the white dude's name is white, and now it's a national story of the most, I mean, it's just like a God bless success story. I just have my doubts because of the way that it's pitched, the details in the story, but I pray it's true, Kurt. I hope it's true. I don't mean to be negative. I hope it's true, but oh, you got to be so careful these days now, don't you? All right, there you have it, Kurt. I agree when he says... he wants food, he wants a bed, and he wants a chance to work. Man, that's all of us. I don't care what race you are, ladies and gentlemen.